You know, God's plan, as we've already seen, is that we're to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. That's our plan. We realize that we are changed when we trust Christ. We're a new creation. We have the power to live for God and to serve Him. But we still have the power to do wrong. Talked to a guy the other day, and that was the issue. We were dealing with these things, and the person, of course, is a Christian, and he says, you know, it's so funny, because I know what the Bible says. The Bible says I've trusted Christ as Savior, and that I have the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling. I'm a new person. He says, but many times I don't feel like a new person. Many times I have the same sins, the same pulls, and all of that. And that's true. You remember when we talked about this study, we said we got some good news and bad news. The good news is you're not how you used to be, and the bad news is you are exactly like you used to be. And that's both true. You're not the same because you've been changed on the inside out. You're born again. You've got the Holy Spirit living in. But you are the way you used to be because the flesh is still there. The pull to do wrong is still there. And so there's that battle going on, and that's what we're looking at. For the last few weeks, we've been, and one of the things we wanted to say is don't be surprised by the battle. Because there are people who teach that if you trust Christ as Savior, you won't have problems and you won't want to sin like that. And you'll automatically serve God and you'll live for Him and there'll be fruit in your life and everything will be happening and all of this. And then if these other things happen, you must not be a Christian. I've had people teach that. I've had people say, if you do certain sins, you can't be a Christian. We're capable of any sin. We still got the flesh. We can do anything we used to could do. Now, there is a principle in the Bible that we've been seeing in this last part. And that is the principle of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. And he goes on to say, if you sow to the flesh, there's sin and death. If you sow to the Spirit, there's life. And the bottom line is, if we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be fruit. If we live in the power of the flesh, there's not going to be fruit. There's going to be sin. And that's what we've been seeing. We said that it affects us in three ways. It affects our testimony. If we live in the flesh, we live like the world. If we live in the Spirit, we have the character of Christ. It affects our fellowship. If we live in the flesh, we don't have fellowship with other believers. We don't have fellowship with God. If we live in the Spirit, there's fellowship with God and other believers. Third, there is the results, what comes out. If you live in the flesh, it's the deeds of the flesh, which are not very good. We don't want to see them in our lives. They're Galatians 5, beginning at verse 19 and going through 21. And they're pretty bad things, but they come out in our lives when we control by the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, there's the fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and we saw those. Now, what we did is in this study of fruit, we looked at this. We started off and asked the questions, three things. What is fruit? How do we produce fruit? And are there levels? And then why should we do it? And we said, what is fruit? And we said fruit was three different things. There was the reproduction. Basically, the Bible says that when you lead somebody to Christ or when God allows you to lead somebody to Christ, that's called fruit. And we saw in Romans where Paul talked about the fact that he would like to come to Rome and have fruit among the Gentiles there. And that idea was to see them come to know Christ. We said that fruit also is fruit in the Christian life is actually character. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And we took the time very briefly. We went through the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we saw that when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, this is fruit. This is the character of God. And that comes out in our lives. And we took the time to look at that. We went through every one of those. And then there was a third thing. And we said that fruit is also good works, good deeds. Colossians talks about that we would bear fruit in every good work. So in reality, fruit is leading someone to Christ. Fruit is the character of God coming out in the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And fruit can actually be good, just good deeds, good works. Now, that's a key. From this, we move to the big question. How do we produce fruit? And are there different levels? And there's a key to producing fruit, and that is abiding. And I want you to see this. I want you to turn to John 15. It's a famous passage because it's the passage where he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and all these things. And the whole passage talks about abiding. But what it really talks about as well is producing fruit. And so I want to bring up some issues today. And remember, since the class is a lot smaller than normal because all the college kids are gone and it's a holiday as well, be free to raise your hand. Let's have interaction. So we'll talk about anything we want to. But here's the thing. We want to look at this producing fruit. We want to go to John 15. And I want you to see how this ties together. We're going to find in John 15 that there are different levels of fruit in people's lives, the way he talks about this. He actually says, sometimes there's no fruit, sometimes there's fruit, sometimes there's more fruit, sometimes there's much fruit. That's how he puts it together. I want you to see this. Look at John 15. Basically, look at verse 1. He says, I'm the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now he says, I'm the vine, and later on he's going to say it in verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. There's this connection. And we're going to see that as believers, the goal is that we abide. Now abide means maintaining that fellowship, that close fellowship with God. Because the truth is this, we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we have a relationship with God. We're children of God, He's our Heavenly Father, never changes. There's never going to be a time that after you put your faith in Christ, you become a child of God, you're a saint, you're set apart, all of those are true, that can never be reversed. There's not going to be a time that He says, you're not my children. I'm going to unborn you. Never says that. It never says, I'm going to unredeem you. It never says, I'm going to ever unadopt you. It never says any of those. The moment you put your faith in Christ, you have a relationship with Him that never changes. But the aspect of fellowship, of maintaining that fellowship with Him, is based on whether we have sin in our lives or not. And John, in this passage, talks about it, and Jesus uses the term abiding. We would say abiding means maintaining our fellowship, living in God's power. We would almost say walking in the Spirit would be another way to say it. We've got to maintain that close fellowship. Notice what he says. John 15, he says, I'm the vine and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it that may bear more. He goes on down to verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide, now if you notice, over and over, he keeps talking about abiding. And what he's bringing the teaching of abiding and fruit. And what we're going to find out is if we want to produce fruit in our lives, which is either leading people to Christ, having the character of God and the fruit of the Spirit, or doing good works in that sense, if we want to be able to do that, we're going to have to abide in Christ. And that means maintain that fellowship. Notice what he says. He's going to give us some levels, and I want to show this to you. The first thing he's going to talk about is a person that doesn't produce fruit. Or let's put it this way, who is not producing fruit. Before we get into that, I want to raise this issue. Will a person who trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, will there be fruit in their lives? Because that's an issue. Now, what people think we're supposed to do is look at a life and see if there's fruit, and they go to those passages like the one in Matthew, it says, you'll know them by their fruits, and we've already studied those, but people look at that, and people want to say, you can tell if a person is a Christian by seeing if there's any fruit in their lives. Well, the truth is, I believe that everyone who ever trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior will produce fruit. In fact, the moment you trust Christ as Savior, it says you have peace with God, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. There's fruit already. Now, the issue of whether we are doing good and whether we're showing the character of God and whether we're leading people to Christ, we may or may not do that. It's according to whether we're abiding in Christ. And also, and here's another issue. You may see a person, look at their life, say to yourself, I don't see any fruit, but you don't know what they think. You're not with them 24 hours a day. You're not in their minds. You don't know if they have a relationship with God. You don't know if they're producing fruit. You don't know about the peace, love, joy, goodness, meekness, kindness. You don't know those things. So one of the statements that we've made a long time ago is that you can't look at a life and tell whether a person's a Christian. You can't look at a life and even tell whether they're producing fruit. You might have an idea. But you don't know, because they could be a good person who's not a Christian doing good, or they could be a Christian living in the flesh. And if you're a Christian living in the flesh, you look just like an unbeliever. So the first issue that he brings up, notice, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now I want you to look at that. And there are some people who say immediately, if it's a branch that's not bearing fruit and he takes it away, that's an unbeliever. Well, it's not an unbeliever, because first of all, it says every branch where? In me. You got to be, how do you get in Christ? By faith in Jesus Christ. You're placed in Him. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about believers. He's saying every branch in me, those who connected with me, that do not, that there's no fruit. And the way it's written in the Greek, the idea there, they're not producing fruit. It didn't say that they never had, and it doesn't say that they never will. It basically says that a branch that is not producing. And let me be honest, have there been times in your life that you don't have fruit in your life, that you're not producing, that you're not leading people to Christ, that you're not showing the character of God, that you're not doing good works? Has that happened in your life? It's happened in mine, I can tell you, but I can tell you it happened about a 3-year time period. So he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now what does that mean? The word literally is lifts up. And what does that mean? Now, there's some people who say, well, immediately it means he cast them into hell. Well, no, we're talking about believers. There's only two possible ways we can understand what it means by lifting up. One is that it could mean that he disciplines you and he takes you home. We know in 1 John chapter 5, there is sin that leads to death. And there may be that what he is saying, that a believer who continually does not produce fruit, does not abide, does not live in the power of the Spirit, does not serve God in that sense, he lifts up. He takes home to be with him. That's what some say. The other idea of lifts up, Jesus is using the analogy of the vine and the branches. And since we don't know the culture and we don't know what they were doing, we don't always know exactly what they're saying. But the people who've done a lot of the study, and if you look back, when they had their vines and branches and grapes and all of those things, when some that were on the lower part or near the bottom of the ground, sometimes they wouldn't produce. And so he would come along and he'd say, oh, that one's not produced, and I better lift it up. And they would tie it up higher so it could. And some say that what Jesus is saying, that in the same way the vine dresser would come along and he'd say, that one's not producing, I better lift it up and fix it where it's going to. Some say that that's what Jesus is saying. Every branch in me that doesn't produce, is not producing fruit, I'm going to lift up. Now we understand that what would Jesus do to get us to produce fruit? We know from Hebrews 12 and some others that every child that has done wrong, because if you're not producing fruit, if you're not abiding, you got sin in your life. And what does God do to believers when they have sin in their lives? What does he do? Do what? He disciplines. And that's what many believe this passage is saying. He's saying, first of all, you got a level of believers who are not producing fruit. And if they're not producing fruit, he's going to lift them up. He's going to discipline them. I know that in my life, there was a time that I did not produce fruit. I was living in the flesh, and let me tell you, he wore me out. That lifting up was not that much fun. You know what? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. It was bad. Has that ever happened to you? Any of you guys ever been disciplined by God? Okay. You know what we're talking about. So I think there's a level in which believers are not producing, and God then lifts them up. Whether that means that he takes them home or whether it means that he disciplines them, that's what happens. Now, notice, after that, there's fruit. Now, look at the next thing. He says, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up or he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, now here's a branch that's producing fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. So the word prune there literally means cleanses. It's the idea that, let's say we're producing some fruit. We say, hey, I'm producing fruit. That ought to do it, right? I mean, thank you, God. And I just kind of sit in the pew and produce fruit occasionally. And then you don't have to lift me up, and I'm okay. He says, oh, look, if you don't produce fruit, you know what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to prune you. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to get you to the point that you're going to do more fruit. Because I'm going to bring things into your life to make you more and more like my son. I'm going to make you abide in me. I mean, that's the key. And so I think there's the second level. And all of us in our lives, as we begin to live more and more for Christ, there are things, everything he brings in our lives, the whole purpose is to make us like Christ, to grow, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Well, notice what he says. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may do what? Bear more fruit. And guess what? After you get this more fruit, look what else he says. He says, abide in me and I in you, and every branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in me, so neither can you unless you abide in me. He says, listen, here's the bottom line. You're going to have to really abide. You're going to have to stay in this fellowship with me if you're going to produce fruit, because there's no possible way of doing it apart from me. And that's why he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. In verse 5, he says, I'm the vine, you the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears what? Much fruit. And we see this progression from no fruit, he lifts up, to producing fruit, he prunes. To producing more fruit, he says, you got to really abide so there can be much fruit. And so this whole thing, I believe, is a progression of maturity. And he's saying, I want you to produce fruit. I'm the vine, you're the branches. You got to abide in me if you're going to produce anything, because apart from me, you can't do anything. And if you're not producing fruit, I'm going to lift you up. And then as you begin to produce fruit, I'm going to prune you so you can do more fruit. And as you get more fruit, I'm going to make sure you're abiding in me so you can produce much fruit. Now that's what I think he's doing. And every one of us could look at our lives right now, wherever we are maturity-wise, but when we think about the aspect of fruit and abiding, we could look at our lives, and you might say, well, I think I'm the no fruit, and I'm probably going to get lifted up, or I may be being lifted up right now. Or you could say, well, I'm producing fruit, but I think God must be pruning me so I can produce even more fruit. Or you could be saying in your life, you know, I think God's really using me, and I'm going to try to abide because my ultimate goal, I want to produce much fruit. And that's our plan. And so when we talk about fruit, how do we produce it at other levels? I think there are. And there are people who will say that if you don't have fruit, you're not a Christian. I don't think that's right. I think Christians can go without fruit. And I think they're the ones that are branches in Him who are not producing fruit. I think He's going to lift up. And whether that means He takes you home or whether it means He disciplines you, I think more likely it's discipline. That's what He does. So that we produce fruit and then more fruit and then much fruit. So that's the plan. Questions, comments, anything on this? I just wanted you to see this. It's a hard passage. Let me throw a verse in that people get bothered by, because you might ask it. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them in the fire, and they're burned. Some people read that, and they say, oh, that means if you're not abiding in Christ, you lose your salvation and you're sent to hell. That's not what it says at all. It just basically says there's a loss there. You don't have fruit. That's the same thing he says in 1 Corinthians. He says, your works are going to be tested, and if they're old dry branches and they burn up, there's nothing there. That's what he's saying. So don't let that bother you. Don't let somebody come into this and tell you that that's not Christians and they're all just sent to hell. That's not what he's talking about. Abiding in Christ is not salvation. It's fellowship and producing fruit. That's what it's talking about. Questions, comments, anything on this before we go to the next part, which is, why should we do this? Any questions? Comments? Yeah, okay. That's exactly right. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for the things that we've done in this body, whether they be good or worthless. 1 Corinthians 3 says, each man's work will be tested by fire. If his works abide, he will be rewarded. If they do not abide, he will suffer a loss, yet he shall be saved. So that's that passage. Yep. What else? Anything else? Okay. Think about where you are. Where we are. We want to be up that level. We sure want to get away from this lifting up part. All right, why do we do this? What would be the purpose? Why is it so good to do this? Well, there's a negative. Why should we produce fruit? First of all, the negatives, if we don't produce fruit, there's going to be a loss of rewards. Verse 6 again, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them in the fire and they're burned. I mean, listen, there's going to be a loss of reward. Someday when we stand before Jesus Christ, we want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. 1 John chapter 2 says we could be ashamed at His coming. And I believe this, that there are going to be many of us that one day when we stand before Jesus Christ, we're going to be ashamed. It has nothing to do with our salvation because we've already put our faith in Christ. That's a gift. We have eternal life. We're talking about how we live. Did we serve Him? Did we abide? Did we produce fruit? I think there's going to be many of us who will stand there and say, well, I'm ashamed. And then there's going to be some in which He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You're faithful to what I gave you to do. And it doesn't matter what He gives us to do. The issue is faithfulness, not a mat. It's faithfulness. That's why he says, I gave one guy five, one guy three, one guy one. The guy with five doubled it, and somebody else did this. This guy hit it in the ground. He didn't even use it. That's the goal. Okay, first of all, why would we do it? There's going to be a negative aspect of the loss of rewards, but there's also a positive, and I want you to see this. The first positive of abiding and producing fruit. Look at this. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it should be done for you. One of the benefits of abiding in Christ and producing fruit is you have answered prayer. Why do you have answered prayer? Because if you abide in Him and His words abide in you and you are understanding His truth and His word, then when you ask, you're asking according to the will of God. It's going to be done for you. It's a great truth there. Second, God is glorified. Look at verse 8. By this is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And so, but you bear much fruit. Incredible. It glorifies God. You know, the purpose of everything that happens is for the glory of God. That's the purpose. We're on this earth for the glory of God. He saved us for the glory of God. We've been seeing that in the book of Ephesians. Remember in that prayer, in that first part, verses 3 through 14? Every aspect said, for the glory of God, for the glory of God, three different times. When you produce fruit, God gets the glory. Isn't it great to know you don't get the glory? Hey, look what I did. Hey, you didn't do it. It's God through you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll never forget, after I trusted Christ, I was all fired up. I'd go to the library at Delta State, me, this friend and I, we'd come back, and I saw the guy who led me to Christ. His name was Knapp. I said, "Hey, Knapp, we've been over there saving people." He went, "You haven't been saving them, God's saving them. You just telling them." Oh, yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I was going, "Yeah, we're saving them," you know. And sometimes when God uses us, we think, "Look what I did." But just remember, it's God using you, and He gets all the glory because it's His power through you. And so, why produce fruit? Not only is answer prayer, God is glorified. But the third thing, we show that we belong to Him, we're His disciples. Verse 8 says, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." That's why we produce fruit. Negatively, we don't want to lose the rewards, but positively, there's answered prayer, God is glorified, and it shows us that we belong to Him.